Welcome to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast, brought to you by Vautier Communications. I'm your host, Jen Alex, and the goal of this show is to uncover communication strategies and behaviors that you can use to improve the way that you show up and perform at work. We'll talk about what effective communication looks like in action so that you can apply it to your own career. If you'd like a written summary of each episode, subscribe to our weekly email newsletter by visiting vautiercommunications.com. Welcome back to another month of the Speak As Well As You Think podcast. And this month, we're going to talk about the empty boat mindset parable and how it connects to communication. So here's how the parable reads. It says, a monk goes out on a boat in a small lake to meditate. After a few hours of uninterrupted silence, he suddenly feels the jarring impact of another boat bumping into his. While he does not open his eyes, he feels the irritation and anger building within him. Why would someone do that? Can't they see me here? How dare they disturb my meditation? He opens his eyes, ready to shout at the person in the other boat, only to realize that it is empty. It had come untied from the dock and was floating in the middle of the lake. In the moment, his anger and frustration disappears. After all, you cannot be angry at an empty boat. The story offers a powerful lesson, which I call the empty boat mindset. In life, you're going to experience countless collisions with people, environments, with chance circumstances outside of your control. Each of these collisions will threaten to derail you, to stroke the fire of anger, stress, and frustration, to knock you off your path. The truth is that the negative emotions that grow inside you are rarely from the collision itself, but from your perception of the negative intent behind the collision. If you convince yourself that every collision is a deliberate action by a bad actor, negative emotions will control your entire life. In other words, your interpretation of the collision creates your own poison. The empty boat mindset is the reminder that most of these collisions you experience in life are with an empty boat. There is no negative intent. There is no desire to harm. They are simply the random collisions of objects floating along on the lake of life. Interestingly, when you embrace the empty boat mindset, you reassume control over your own boat. You are no longer prone to the spiraling emotional effects of chance collisions. You are a seasoned explorer ready to adapt to whatever the seas throw your way. So the next time you feel a collision and find your negative emotions growing, pause and ask yourself a simple question. Am I just getting angry at an empty boat? Again, I really liked this parable, and I think that there can be a greater conversation around communicating when it comes to this type of empty boat mindset.
Yeah. And Jen, to just kind of start that conversation around it, the first piece that I want to touch on is that little piece in that parable that says that the perception of negative intent is where all of this comes from. And I think that's the one main thing that we need to do. First off, we want to kind of justify what are some of these empty boat occurrences or collisions that we might see in our day-to-day. These could be anything from small inconveniences like people interrupting us in conversation to larger impediments in workflows or processes or presentations or timing. We see this every single day, but 9 times out of 10, when we see them, no matter how small or how maybe incremental they may be, we tend to put some sort of intent or reasoning behind these interruptions or behind these collisions. Yep. For us, very much like it says in that parable, that's the reason that we tend to get a bad taste in our mouth from the individuals across the room or from the situation and how it's playing out. What we need to remember is that some of these interruptions, some of these collisions, some of these changes in our timelines are things that are, one, greatly out of our control, but two, greatly outside of the control of everybody else in that room around us. For us as communicators, we have the ability to control our mindset when we arrive at some of these collisions, to take that second and shift back some of those emotions or some of those things that may make us bubble over a little bit and pause and remember, hey, one, this is not intentional. They are not doing it on purpose. And the likelihood is that this is just a miscommunication or a simple little hiccup that's causing what I feel to be a collision. But instead, moving through it may actually cause more good than the harm of embracing that collision.
Right.
Yeah. And we've said this in multiple programs that we run, whether that's executive communication skills, it's listening skills, control your controllables. There's enough outside of our control in everyday life as it relates to communication skills and everything outside of it too, that we can't control. And so getting upset or frustrated or letting some of those little things, Matt, as you call them, hiccups, great use of the word there, impact us or frustrate us or throw us off or get in our way, it's energy wasted. It's energy wasted without good outcomes based on it. And it's one of those things where we coach, don't chase perfection. What are things that you have control over that you can manage on your side of the table that will allow for certain interactions to be the best they can possibly be? That can be communicating when we're doing it proactively. But in some cases, we think about this concept or this parable here, and we think about it through the lens of having difficult or what we call crucial conversations. They're not always bad conversations. It's not always bad news that's having to get delivered. We might look at it as bad news for one of the reasons stated in the parable. It's one of those things where you look across the lake and you see a boat coming, and you think, I can't believe this boat driver doesn't see me here. Not until the boat hits you or touches you do you realize, wait a second, there was no one driving the boat. That was just a boat that was being taken by the current. And a lot of, if you dig deeper into that parable, a lot of it talks about how do you go with the flow? We've all heard that phrase before. How do you adapt? How do you stay fluid? All of these things, you could make the argument, some of the most successful people in the world and some of the most successful speakers in the world go with the flow. They don't let little things get in their way. They don't let little things become big things. And it's back to that idea of control what you can, let go of the rest.
That really highlights another saying, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Sometimes it's the way we approach something that we almost make it worse or we make it a bigger deal than it is. Matt, you mentioned intentional, and it's thinking about, did this person or group or whatever the situation might be, did they intend for it to come across that way? Or is that just how I interpreted it? Is that how I heard it? Perhaps their tone wasn't the best when they delivered it, but they didn't necessarily mean it with ill intent. That's just the way that it came out. And then that's the way that I perceived it. And rather jumping to conclusions and assuming information, this is a really great opportunity to lean into some of that good, effective, active listening where we open it up, we maintain that curiosity, and we say, okay, let's dig a little bit deeper. Tell me more about what you just said, or why you feel the way you do. And sometimes we can work through some of those miscommunications as we just have an open conversation rather than immediately putting up the defensive or getting frustrated as we look at the situation or the conversation moving forward.
Yeah, and a big place that we tend to see a lot of that frustration and defensiveness, I think, especially in what I'll call that empty boat, is feedback. And it's something that we've done full podcasts around, but especially with feedback more than most of these other situations, people are looking to help you. There's a quote directly in that parable that says, there is no negative intent, there is no desire to harm. These are simply random collisions. That's what our feedback's going to be a lot of the time. When we walk out of those presentations, when we're getting feelings on what our proposal may have been or what we're looking to sell, and we're answering questions around those, we need to understand that people aren't asking these questions or diving deeper just to pick what it is we're saying apart. Likelihood is they're doing something for themselves on the back end as well. A lot of what we need to do is understand that our world is our world. And the listener's world is theirs. So they may be one under a different set of emotions than we are standing in front of that room. And they may be looking at and listening to our content a bit differently than it may have come across from our mouths as well. So again, that intent piece, but as well as shifting that portion to everybody is looking to help us here. Everybody wants growth. Everybody wants positivity from what it is we're speaking to. I think that also is going to reorient how we start to feel about some of these different collisions or different interactions too.
Yeah. And it's a great point when you think about feedback or you think about, okay, something happened. A project timeline got pushed out. A budget got missed. A deadline didn't get hit. Instead of looking at it as who, try to think about what. And so, this concept of who's to blame or whose fault is it, let's instead focus on that what word. And it's more around what happened, what took place. Let's understand the whole, like you said, Matt, the totality of the experience. right? If it was someone under different emotions that day, someone had a late night the night before because of kids being sick, right? There's a lot of things that we might not know, but going back to that glass half full mentality versus glass half empty, if we can start to think through the lens of people are doing things with positive intent more than they are negative intent, or at least neutral. Let's call it a spade, a neutral intent is fine too. They're not doing things to harm. They're not doing things to negatively impact anyone. No one wants to miss a project deadline. No one wants a project budget to go over or under. These would be things that just happen over the course of timelines and projects. And again, it's that going with the flow mindset of instead of immediately thinking, whose fault is it? Let's take a look at what actually happened. Let's uncover all the details and the facts first, and then we can figure out what we can do about it going forward.
Right. And when we lean into it with that neutrality or potentially positivity, it does allow us to listen better, to have more empathy for the whole situation, but then also collaborate and then problem solve. It's not, John, as you mentioned, pointing fingers at who screwed up, because what does that solve? It's not going to make the project budget cheaper all of a sudden. So the thing has already taken place. Let's think of more of that proactive next step mindset on, okay, this thing happened. What do we do to solve it? Or what is our next step? And then look back and say, how can we prevent this from happening in the future? Maybe it did come down to it being quote unquote one person's fault. But the purpose of the conversation, the meeting, the interaction is not to point fingers and place blame. It's to solve the problem. And that's what the focus of the conversation should stay on. And then you think about having those feedback interactions one-on-one, private setting at a later point. If there really is one person that dropped the ball, that's a great learning opportunity to foster, okay, how could I have helped? Or what didn't go well? Where did things fall apart that we can prevent doing in the future?
Yeah. And having these open conversations is what creates trust. That's the whole idea around some of these interactions would be, how do I build collaboration? How do I make people feel comfortable about sharing that, hey, we're going to be off on the deadline by a few days. Here's why. Or this timeline's now getting pushed out and I'm okay being transparent about that. But the truthfulness, the trust factor, the collaboration component, all those things are built when people aren't afraid or worried, this is going to come back negatively on me in some really harsh way. And that's, I believe the idea that I get out of this is being able to have productive interactions around what we might call crucial conversations, but not casting this really dark shadow around, oh my goodness, I never want to have these because I know the repercussions when they exist. If you just create a safe environment and an open environment, then these conversations can happen with frequency, and they're not bad conversations. They're more important conversations that take place. But that's how you start to build and solve problems and take care of issues that will arise over time because that's just the way of life.
Again, putting it back to the parable, we fix these empty boats that are floating around randomly, and we don't make a big deal of them, but we don't wait for them to become this bigger issue. We don't want people to try and cover up mistakes or act like they didn't happen or pretend like they aren't there, because that's where, a couple of weeks down the line, all of a sudden, this small misstep has now become a really big issue. So it's being able to bring those to the table, have the conversation, fix them. Again, maybe it's just an empty boat that bumped into us. Nobody's necessarily to blame or at fault, but let's start to solve or fix that thing now so that all of these little random empty boats don't become this big crisis that now we're having to try and reactively go back and figure out rather than being proactive in our approach to it.
And that's another massive piece there too, is the tension that builds from some of these empty boats if we don't take them one by one. Again, one small conflict or one small collision is okay, but as those start to mount, if we don't pay attention to the ones before it, we create a tension amongst ourselves. We may have been interrupted 3 times in the meeting beforehand. We walk into our next meeting, we get interrupted once, and our top blows. But those people in that meeting had no clue what occurred in the meeting before it. Again, we need to do our due diligence as that speaker, as that person of the front of the room, to have our own open mindset. And a lot of that comes from, like you say, Jen, kind of handling what's on our plate in that incremental basis. If we wait too long, that's going to be something that Again, it does drown that boat. It's that third, fourth, fifth hit to the side of our boat, even though the other one's empty, aren't necessarily going to be the best for the longevity of us and those around us. So again, what we need to do is we need to handle it situation by situation. And while we're expecting others to come in with an open mindset, we need to do the same thing as that speaker, because where we can drop that tension and have it be two people with even mindsets talking about a topic instead of two people boiling over talking about a topic, it tends to go a lot longer way.
And people fear harsh reactions or being looked at as if things are, this is my fault. I'm going to get reamed out in front of everybody for this. So it's being able, John, you mentioned, I don't think you called it safety, but building the trust in relationships. And it's creating this atmosphere of being able to bring those issues, those tough conversations. You know what? I'm having a day and I'm sorry if I'm not my best self. Being able to tell your team that or have that interaction or be able to know that, hey, I've got to be able to put that off to the side. But creating that safety in the communication style and the team dynamic is really going to help solve these problems faster and make these crucial conversations easier. Or when somebody does say something in a way that they didn't intend for it to come across, they can fix it, say it differently in that moment, and nobody's going to take this personal offense to it. But that's what helps lower tensions. People aren't on edge. They're not looking to defend themselves, their ego, the decision that they made. If something's said the wrong way, somebody can correct it and everybody can continue moving on and have this productive conversation. But it doesn't, Matt, as you said, blow off the top and then have us stuck in this state of, wow, now we're not going anywhere with this meeting or conversation. We got to put a stop to this. Everybody's got to walk away and cool down before we can come back to it because this is not getting us anywhere.
And part of what makes great leaders is going back to the talk we had earlier. Great leaders understand people do things with positive intent. And so it's not that anyone is trying to, we'll use sports analogy we just finished with first NFL Sunday. No one's trying to miss field goals, miss extra points on purpose. It's their job. Their job is to kick an extra point. Their job is to kick a field goal. They're not running out there thinking, okay, now's a really good time for me to miss this one. I think that'll go well. But a good coach knows, okay, I've seen you at practice. You did great all training camp. I know what you can do. Let's go back to the drawing board and figure out what needs to happen so that this doesn't occur next week. And the reality is, it might occur next week or it might occur again during the season. No one's perfect, but that's the idea, is a great coach, a great leader, people understand, okay, so and so is doing all they can in their control to have positive outcomes exist. If and when positive outcomes don't exist, it's okay. Let's go back to the drawing board, or let's go back to figuring out how can we make sure that this gets cleaned up? How can we make sure that this doesn't continue to occur or happen? It's not avoiding it.
So when we find ourselves encountering some of these empty boats, we need to consider a couple of different things. One, we definitely want to separate that intent from impact. As Matt mentioned earlier, did the person intend for this to come across that way or intend for this outcome to take place? Next, try to assume either positive or at least neutral intent. Most people are not trying to do things with a negative thought process in mind. Focus on questioning to try and understand further whatever took place, but we're not looking to place blame on somebody because that really doesn't lead to having an effective conversation. And then being able to do all of those things together helps us create that safety and trust in these relationships that we're building, whether those are internally with our team members or externally with clients or customers. When we think about effective communication, it's not just about being able to say things clearly, while that's a very big part of it, it's about creating conditions where that clarity can survive when these empty boats pop up. As always, if you have another topic you would like to hear us discuss, please feel free to respond directly to this newsletter, and we will get that in an upcoming episode. Thanks so much, and see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Speak As Well As You Think podcast brought to you by Vautier Communications. Again, I am your host, Jen Alex. Vautier Communications is in the business of business communication skills. We coach and train both individuals and groups on how to elevate their presence and increase their impact through the way they communicate, present, and write. If you want to learn more about our in-person or virtual training options, visit our website at www.vautiercommunications.com. speakaswellasyouthink.com. Thanks for listening.